Chapter 2. The next afternoon, Erin drove out to her uncle's ranch. As she parked near the main house, in a county truck, the sheriff had allowed her to borrow for 2 weeks, she searched for Wyatt, saw no signs of him, and was glad of it. From now on, she planned to avoid him just as he did her. He'd made it clear that he wasn't interested in her, and she needed to respect that. It still bothered her that he didn't at least want to be friends, but oh well. When they bumped into each other, they'd be polite. Nothing more was required. She rolled down the window for a breath of fresh air, delightfully laced with scents she'd come to associate with only the ranch. As was the case everywhere in Mystic Creek, the predominant scent was of ponderosa pines. But on her uncle's land, the piney sharpness competed with the perfume of new-growth alfalfa and grass, manzanita, wildflowers, the mist that rose from the creek, and the slight but ever-present hint of livestock manure, which, oddly enough, wasn't unpleasant. After exiting the truck, she paused to let the sunlight warm her face and shoulders. She likened the sensation to having melted butter drizzled over her skin. After a harsh winter, the arrival of spring, no matter how fickle the weather, felt absolutely divine. She panned her gaze over the yard, taking in Slade's late model pickup, so layered with mud that she could see only patches of red paint. Then, she widened her focus on the outbuildings that composed the ranch proper and the fenced pasture land behind them that stretched in seemingly endless folds of green to the tree-studded foothills of the Cascades. Raised by a mother who detested every aspect of country living, Erin had been slow to appreciate the simple pleasures that came with it. But now, she was finally starting to understand why her uncle and Vicky loved this place so much. Out here, time seemed to slow down. The sound of a mountain breeze whispering through the pine boughs soothed her. In the distance, she could hear cattle lowing. Occasionally, the soft drone of their cries was interrupted by the whinnying of a horse. If she listened closely, she could hear men's voices drifting on the air, not loud enough to disrupt the peacefulness, but only a reminder that this was an industrious place despite the slow, lazy beat of its pulse. It was like a sanctuary to Erin now, much like the inside of a church, where she felt compelled to breathe deeply, exhale fully, and let go of her problems. If she returned to school and was fortunate enough to call this home for a couple of years, she would have all the quiet she needed to study and pull good grades. The thought made her stomach muscles bunch with anxiety again. It felt all wrong to be here to ask for help when she already had a good education and a wonderful job. Slade and Vicky might think she was nuts for even considering a career change, and maybe she was. She only knew she wasn't happy. And whether anyone else could understand that or not, it was her reality. Her gaze came to rest on the house, which loomed 2 stories high, its natural wood and log exterior weathered to umber. Evidence of Vicky's presence was everywhere, from the spring flower beds that had appeared along the front edge of the veranda to the layer of fresh forest green paint on Adirondack chairs grouped to the right of the front door. Even the multi-paned windows glistened. Not that Uncle Slade had been a slacker when it came to maintaining his home. He'd always kept it clean, organized, and in good repair. But most men didn't think about the little things that added touches of hominess. Now, with Vicky in charge, a posy of flowers in a canning jar adorned a small deck table, and colorful pillows and throws invited the weary to relax in the sitting area. Feminine touches. Erin wished she had a talent for them. The front porch of her rental cottage looked shabby by comparison. As she ascended the steps onto the wide, wrap